station through your faithful.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Friday. Brevard County, it's Friday. The weekend is just around the corner, and I pray that you are making plans to worship the Lord this weekend. That it's not going to be whether or not it's convenient for you, but you've already got it on your calendar. You're putting it in place that you are going to be in the house of God this weekend. You know, it says that as the end times approach, that we're supposed to be gathering together more frequently, not less frequently. And yet attendance trends that we see here in America show that as an overall population, we are attending church less frequently now than we were before. Listen, God's word, I'll never forget, there was a minister that told me this. He said, Bob, God's word is going to come to pass. And everything that is taking place in the world news, the world headlines, the world instabilities, I'm telling you, it is, the stage is set for the end times. And so I encourage you, be ready, encourage your family members to be ready. There are some people that are going to blow it off and say, oh yeah, we've heard that for decades now, and yet here we are. We're still singing the same song and all of that sort of stuff. I'm telling you what, the scripture says God is not slack concerning his promises as some men count slackness. And so I encourage you, be ready. Be ready for the trumpet to sound. Be ready if persecution breaks out. Be ready for whatever comes your way. And the best way to do that is to stay in constant communication with God, to build yourselves up in your most holy faith, to read the word, to study the word, and be actively involved in the ministry in this community. Did you know that one of the healthiest things that you can do for your spiritual walk is to get involved in ministry? Whatever it is at your church, whether it's cleaning, whether it's parking lot detail, whether it's greeting or being an usher or a Sunday school teacher or a youth worker, the more you get involved, the healthier you are going to be spiritually. Now there needs to be some balance there, but I'm telling you that the most miserable people that I've ever run across in life in general and in the church are people who don't do anything, who all they know how to do is complain. Those people are miserable. But you and I, let's get involved so that souls can be saved. We've been talking to you about allowing the Holy Spirit to bring someone to our attention that we can be praying for in the month of October, that Jesus will become their Lord and Savior. We believe in the power of prayer. We believe that Jesus loves people more than we love people, that we believe that Jesus is still in the salvation business. And so let's pray that God will steer their hearts away from deception and right into a relationship with the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ. So thank you for tuning in. We do want to stop and say thank you to those who have partnered with us with the Refresh Radio broadcast here. It is a great privilege and honor for us to bring you this word. At the end of this month, we will have completed 2 years of radio broadcasts. Let me tell you, that's a lot of trips back and forth for to the radio station for me. And so we're so thankful. We were on the air back in 1996. We were only on the air one day a week. It was for about 3 months, I believe it was, 3 or 4 months. And during that time, we never received one phone call. We never received one visit. We never received one letter. We didn't know if anybody was listening out there. And the fact that we've been on the air now for 2 years is just a major, major privilege and honor for us. And so we thank you for tuning in. We're talking about deliverance today. And if you do not have a church home, we would like to invite you to Merit Assembly of God. We would love for you to be part of our congregation. We just love people. We have many different ethnic backgrounds that are represented. We're looking for more. I've got a friend, and I think they said that they have like I forget how many different nationalities, but it was way up there, 20 or 30 or 40 different nationalities represented in their congregation. And it's not a huge congregation, but they just have a lot of diversity. And we are so thankful because around the throne, people are going to be worshiping Jesus Christ from every tribe, every tongue, every nation. We figure we might as well get to know one another now. We might as well start liking one another now. We might as well start worshiping together now, because that's what's going to take place around the throne of grace. So if you don't have a church home, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, we are two blocks north of 520. We are two blocks west of Courtney Parkway, two blocks east of Tangerine, or two blocks east of Tropical Trail, and two blocks south of Merritt Avenue. So that, if you know where Pizza Hut is, we're two blocks towards Coco from Pizza Hut. And so come and join us Sunday morning, Sunday school at 9:30, worship at 10:30. And then we have our grow groups this Sunday night. Also, our ladies are at their ladies retreat this week. Praise God. They're going to get touched by the presence of God. Acts chapter 7, verse number 35. We're going to finish our discussion on Moses as a deliverer today. There's a lot that could be said for him. But verse number 35, it says, "This Moses, whom they rejected, saying, 'Who made you a ruler and a judge?' is the one God sent to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel who appeared to him in the bush. He brought them out after he had shown wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness for 40 years. Okay, so it says here in verse number 35, that God had told Moses, or verse 34, "Now come, I will send you to Egypt." Verse 35, "This Moses whom they rejected, saying, 'Who made you a ruler and a judge?'" Isn't it interesting that men have a tendency to initially reject the very deliverance that God has provided for them and that they have been crying out for? Jesus is identified as the stone which the builders rejected. There are a lot of people, the Israelites did the same thing. The Moses was there. He was in place. The timing wasn't right, but he was ready to get on with it. And the Israelites said, "No, we don't think you can do it. We don't think you can do it." And, you know, all throughout the time, when Pharaoh initially makes their life harder before they're set free, and they complained about Moses being an insufficient deliverer. And then he leads them out to the brink of the Red Sea, and the Egyptian army comes and traps them there, and they complained about his leadership there. And then they get out in beyond the Red Sea after the Egyptian army has been miraculously overcome, and they're still rejecting Moses' advice. They're still rejecting Moses' counsel. And they're saying, "We don't have anything to eat." And they rejected him. He went up onto the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments, and they thought that he had died, and they rejected the fact that God could be speaking to him. He came down, and they moved on from there, and they constantly were moaning and groaning. He brought them to the brink of the promised land. They looked at the giants and the fortified cities, and they said, "Oh, we could never go in there. Yes, Moses, it's true you brought us out, but you cannot bring us in. And we remember how wonderful it was in Egypt." Isn't it amazing how quickly we forget how bad things were when we are faced with the opportunity of stepping in to a new level of deliverance and blessing. You see, we talk about Moses, and later on their descendants would revere Moses. They would hold him in very high esteem. But I want you to know they rejected Moses and they complained against him at every single turn. If you have ever been rejected, I've got good news for you. You are in great company, because people have lousy taste. The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the chief cornerstone, not in an earthly temple, but in a heavenly one. God says, you all don't know what you had, but instead I'm going to exalt this to the highest place. Isn't it interesting that there are so many times that we don't know what we have? I was talking to someone the other day, and they were talking about how they had purchased something at a flea market, and they didn't really know what it was. It was just something that was in their field, and they didn't pay very much money for it. And so they knew this, that if they went to work on it, they could make something beautiful out of it, and they absolutely did. And then they found out that what they had was worth a great deal of money. And I think back to some of the things that have been rejected and thrown out. My dad described how his mom threw away a bunch of his baseball cards that, you know, they weren't really too famous. I mean, they were just from the 1950s, you know, Mickey Mantle rookie cards and all of the Yankees and it was stuff that was, it was clutter. It was stuff that was just taking up space, and it needed to be thrown away, only, you know, because it was rejected for being worth anything, only to find out that it was very, very valuable. And so Moses was rejected. And so today, the first part of the program here, I just want to share with anybody, and maybe you've been rejected from a job. I've been there. Maybe you've been rejected from a relationship. I've been there. Maybe you have been rejected for an application. I've been there. If you've ever been rejected, I want you to know that God's plans will not be thwarted. Those plans are going to come to pass. Just because men rejected you, just because women rejected you, does not mean that God has rejected you. Allow God to heal. Allow God to refresh your image and understand of how valuable you are to Him. One of my favorite stories of rejection is Michael Jordan being cut from his high school basketball team. If you ever dealt with rejection and you're looking for something that's not too spiritual to help you with your rejection issues, Michael Jordan, whom many people believe is one of the greatest basketball players that has ever lived, was cut from his high school basketball team. He didn't make the team. So don't let rejection have the final say in your life. It says, this Moses whom they rejected, saying, who made you a ruler and a judge, is the one God sent to be a ruler. They said, who made you to be the ruler? And Moses could have said, God did. You see, if you know what God has made you to be, it will bring such freedom for your life. Listen, it will bring deliverance for your life. We live in a day and time where everything rises and falls on popularity and people's opinions, and it's fickle. It changes like the wind. And so I just want to encourage you to know what God has said, what He has spoken into your life, who he has made you to be. I will tell you right now, I have been rejected by a lot of people as their pastor. I have. There may be some of them listening to this program right now. I don't know. But I tell you what, I know what God called me to be. I know who he's called me to be. I know the values that he's placed in my life. I know what he wants us to do at Merit Assembly of God. And so, you know what? If people reject me, but yet God has said they're rejecting you for exactly the role that I have created for you to have in this community, then that's their loss, not my loss. That's their, you know, God has a unique way. I don't know what happened to that guy. I don't know who the one who was beating the other Hebrew and then he comes to Moses and says, you know, who made you to be a ruler and a judge? I don't know what happened to him after Moses went out. I don't know if he was still alive or not. But I you know, if we just dream just a little bit, saying there he is, you know, as a 60 or a 70 year old man, and Moses walks back in and he says, the I am has sent me, the I am that I am, to be your ruler and your deliverer. See, here in America, we don't like anybody telling us what to do. That is our society's biggest problem with the Word of God, is it is still proclaiming absolute right and absolute wrong in a day and time where society believes there are no absolutes and morals are in flux. If I told you on this radio program the things that are working behind the scenes that people are trying now to normalize and legalize, it would leave you shaking your head, because it is reprehensible. It is an abomination. And I want you to know that the Bible says this about the lust of evil, and that is that it is always wanting more. You see, a lot of people end up in bondage because they toyed with a sin, thinking that sin only wanted a one-night stand, not realizing that what sin really wanted was to have a stranglehold on their life. You know, something happened in my childhood, and it was, you know, at the time it was something that I looked at, and it was kind of just an embarrassing thing how I reacted to the situation, until much later in life, many, many years had gone by, and God revealed to me, he said, Bob, that was a pivotal moment and you didn't even realize it, because the devil was trying to influence you. He was trying to create a stronghold in your life, and I didn't let him. Thank God. Thank God for the traps that don't spring. You know, I'm so thankful for the fact that my son is still alive. He is alive because of a fraction of a second. I think of my daughter. I'm so glad that she's still alive. She's alive because of a fraction of a second. One I saw with my own eyes. One I heard about later. But both of them literally were in harm's way, and they were miraculously spared in situations that could have proved fatal. My youngest daughter, I'm thankful she's still alive because of God's provision. So thank God. God called Moses. Moses was sent to be a ruler and a deliverer. A lot of people want deliverance without the lordship. They want somebody to just come, get them out of the mess that they're in, and then walk away with no strings attached. That's not what God wants. Jesus does not just want to be your Savior. He is Jesus Christ, Savior and Lord. Savior and Lord. And so Moses was sent. He had been rejected, but God said, I don't care if they rejected you. I'm sending you to be the ruler and to be the deliverer. Be the person that God created you to be. Fulfill the ministry that God called you to fulfill. If you have been called to teach Sunday school, teach it to the best of your ability. If you have been called to do whatever it is in the church, do it to the best of your ability. But those things, he said, Moses is the one God sent to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel. You are not in this alone. We are Pentecostal. We still believe in the supernatural intervention of God. We believe that God empowers us, that God moves. There's a lot to be said here. It says it was the hand of the angel that was going to cause him to be the ruler and to be the deliverer. This was the angel who appeared to him in the bush. He brought them out after he had shown wonders and signs in the land of Egypt. Okay, so the angel was the one who appeared to him, and he was the one who equipped Moses and enabled Moses to be the ruler and the deliverer. And it says that he, Moses, brought them out after he had shown wonders and signs in the land of Egypt. I want you to look at the time frame, the timetable. It says that he was sent to be the deliverer, and he did bring them out. He brought them out, but it wasn't until there were wonders and signs in the land of Egypt. God showed off in Egypt. God overthrew every deity that they were worshiping in Egypt. He was saying, your God can't do this, but I can. And so there were signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. They couldn't be brought out until those signs and wonders were accomplished. And then it says, and in the Red Sea, when he brought them out, listen, what do you think Pharaoh was trying to accomplish when he sent the army after them, when it says they were wandering around and they were trapped by the Red Sea? Do you think he was wanting to say, oh, you forgot this? No, he was out there. He was going to kill a bunch of them, and he was going to drag the rest of them back in there. But God said, what I'm going to do today at the Red Sea is going to cause you to not see your enemy, not see your oppressor ever again. The power of the oppressor is going to be broken. So I want you to know God's signs and wonders are not for entertainment value. They are for deliverance value. They are to demonstrate God's mighty hand. The power of the Red Sea is because what took place at the Red Sea is because God does not want you returning back to the oppressor. Listen, he knew what was in the hearts of the people of Israel. That's why all during the wilderness wanderings, they were saying, we remember the leeks and the garlics and the onions, and we had just everything to eat that we wanted. And God said, look, I am going to do a supernatural work so that you will not return like a dog to its vomit. You will not return to your bondage and to your oppression. You know, if I was ever in jail and I got set free, I would never want to go back. But they have this thing called a recidivism rate, where people go right back into it. They go right back into it, whether it's prison or whether it's drug addiction or alcoholism or addiction to nicotine or whether it's debt, whatever it might be. There's a tremendous recidivism rate. Let's pray that God does a miracle and he breaks that cycle where we don't return to our bondage. I just preached myself happy. So, and then it says, and in the wilderness for 40 years. Do you realize that they had no natural source of nutrition in the wilderness? God provided for them for 40 years in the wilderness. I would say that Moses was a pretty awesome deliverer when he was working in what he started off in his own flesh and he got nowhere. But when he started working with the power of God, millions of people came out. Millions of people saw God destroy their oppressors at the Red Sea. And millions of people were sustained in life because Moses started working with God. So I want to ask you today. Today, I'm just a messenger. That's really all I am. As you get ready to go into this weekend, the question I have for you is this. Would you like to be in bondage this weekend, or would you like to be in deliverance? And if that's the case, and if you're listening right now and you have rejected the house of God, I want to encourage you, get back in. You need the church. The church needs you. You need other believers. There are so many people, and they've kind of created their own little huddle. I thank God for what he takes place in our grow groups and our small groups, but I need the full body of Christ. I don't just need the Assemblies of God. I need the Baptist Church, Pastor Titus Green. I need Pastor Dan Stahlbaum from East Coast Christian Center. I need all of the pastors in the area. We need believers in Jesus Christ. We need one another. You see, in places where persecution's taking place, the body of Christ has realized, hey, we need, one another more than we've ever needed him before. And let's pray for God's supernatural provision, okay? Listen, if you've been used to leeks and garlics and onions and he takes you out, I want you to know manna was not a step down. It was the bread of heaven. It was actually a foretype of Jesus. Jesus is identified as the bread of heaven. And you and I need that. Father, right now, in the name of the Lord, I pray that this would be a deliverance weekend in Jesus' name. I pray that bondages would be broken. I pray that strongholds would be broken. Lord, if there are people who've rejected attending church, God, I pray that you would do a healing work in their heart today and you would restore them to fellowship. I pray, God, that you would not only be our Savior, you would be our Lord. I pray, God, that you would do signs and wonders, that there would be healings, that the lost would come to know you. Lord, I pray that you would save prostitutes and drug addicts. I pray, God, you would do miracles, Lord. In Jesus' name, may this be a victorious weekend. We'll see you Monday right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. What they really mean is they need just one thing more. And everybody seems to think they got it coming.
Well, I know that I don't deserve you. Still, I want to love and serve you more and more. You're my